Thank you, ladies. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. We're ready to pick up in the third chapter at verse 13. This is a passage that actually kind of indicates that the children of Israel had gotten to the point of where they are doubting the character of God. And in that, unfortunately, there is much of what we see today, even in the modern day church. And perhaps we have to examine this in our own lives, where people begin this idea of really doubting the character and the nature of God. So let's look at what is going on. We looked at the fact that the people were robbing God the last time. And remember, this whole book is a conversation between God and the children of Israel, and declaring God's position on things. Let's begin with verse 13. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against thee? And God responds to that by saying this, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Wow. Have you ever in your life stepped back and looked at a situation, a circumstance, perhaps someone's going behind your back and lying about you, whatever the circumstance might be, and have looked, gone before the Lord and said, Lord, when are you going to avenge this? When are you going to take care of this? When are you going to honor your word? How long, Lord, do we have to wait to see your hand come down on these types of things? You know, I think there have been those times when we've done it. And I know I have. There have been times when I've just wondered, Lord, are you going to let this go on forever? Are you going to let people lie and not hold them accountable? Are you going to let people deceive and let them go unaccountable? Now, there comes kind of a fine line as to where we become honestly going before the Lord and saying, please take care of this, and coming to the point where we throw in our hat and we say, God, you're not a person I can trust anymore. We're seeing a lot of that in the modern day church. And it's a dangerous, dangerous place for the church to be. It's a dangerous place for an individual to come. But it's a dangerous place for the church to be. I look around and it seems as though there are those who are really prospering who are teaching false doctrines. You look at, I'll give you an example. The fastest growing religious group in the United States of America is young women between the ages of 18 and 26 towards Islam. Isn't that tragic? It's the fastest growing group in the United States. And I look at that and I go, God, how long can you allow that kind of thing to go on? I'm not a fatalist, all right? And I'm not a feudalist. I don't think that it's without hope and without possibility of change. But I look at these types of increases and growths, and I wonder, Lord, how long before you really step in and take care of things? You know, there's so much that is taking place, and we have to guard that we don't fall, and I have to guard that I don't fall into this mindset of the children of Israel. You'll notice that they have gone so far as to throw up their hands and say, what in the world's the sense in serving God? We might as well add our blessing to the arrogant. And it's interesting that the Lord uses this particular term, isn't it? Because arrogance is the exact opposite of the spirit and the nature of Christ. The exact opposite. Christ was humble. Christ told us that we must humble ourselves like a little child if we're going to have life in Him. The Word of God tells us that God resists the proud, the arrogant, but He exalts the humble, the repentant, the broken. The nation of Israel, at this time that Malachi's writing, they're going, man, doesn't do any good to serve God. We're still in a mess. But look at how the arrogant are prospering. Look at how they are succeeding. They are questioning the character in the nature of God. That's an extremely difficult or dangerous place to find yourself. And so we have to guard that all the time. Now, notice as he continues on in verse 16, he says this, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. In other words, the word fear there is the word revered. Those who reverenced God. You see, not everyone in the nation of Israel has gone the way of throwing in their hats and determining, you know what, we might just as well follow these other religions and all of that kind of garbage, because that was a huge, huge problem in Israel. Over and over and over, Israel would cast her lots with other gods. And in fact, in Jeremiah chapter 30, I believe it is. I have it written down here somewhere. Jeremiah chapter 3, in verses 6 through 10. Well, let's take a look at it. Jeremiah chapter 3. Beginning with verse 6. And the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king, Have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. And I thought, after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all of the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. And it came about, because of the lightness of her harlotry, that she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. In other words, connecting with other gods. And yet, in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. You see, folks, when we throw our hat in with the arrogant, when we throw our hat in with those who are false in their teaching, who don't keep the pure doctrine. Remember how we talked about God talking with the nation of Israel and telling them, look, keep your doctrine pure. Keep your teachings focused on God. And yet you look at all of the ungodly doctrines that are being taught out there and how people are just getting taken in by them. And as they get taken in, they go deeper and deeper and deeper into those doctrines, and they throw aside God. And in the whole process of that, they become arrogant in their spirit. And that arrogance is what will destroy. Because arrogance always destroys. And so as Malachi is looking or observing this conversation taking place between God and the people of Israel, he's reminded, look, not everybody has fallen prey here. Not everybody is going to throw their hat with the arrogant. And that 16th verse begins to come out and look at what it says. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. The Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear or revere the Lord and who esteem his name. And they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. There's an unfortunate break, in my opinion, in chapters right here. And so we're going to continue on. I want you to notice the first three verses of chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. This book of remembrance is written for those whose whose names are placed in the book of remembrance. And who are they? They're the ones who are going to be faithful to God, not faithless. They are those who are not going to embrace the arrogant, but instead are going to remain humble and faithful to God, who are going to bless the principles, the character, and the nature of God, who are going to acknowledge the fact that God is in control and that even in His control, He is merciful and He is kind and He is slow to judge, but He is quick to forgive. And those things kind of go against who we are. But for those who will embrace those principles of God and those parts of God's nature and God's character, He is going to have them elevated and raised up. He's going to have them protected when the fire of His wrath does fall. He will protect those who have been faithful to Him, to His plan, to His will, to His word, to His character, to His nature. To those who have embraced all that God is and all that He does, God is going to preserve them. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, is what He says in that 17th verse. And then He comes out with this result of that. Because in the second verse, He says, "But for you who fear My name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing His wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." I don't know if you've ever had the chance to see a calf when after they've been penned for a while. Perhaps over the winter, you know, and they're kind of getting a little restless. And when they're let out into the field for the first time after a while, and how they'll just kick their feet up and they run around and you know, they just act wild. You know, and God said, that's how you're going to be. It's going to be a sense of freedom in knowing that you're not going to be oppressed by the evil, by the arrogant, by the wicked, but instead you're going to be freed. You're going to be like one of those calves, like one of those who just rejoices in what God is doing and what He has done. And now look at this. He says in verse 3, "And you will tread down the wicked." Folks, in a warlike fashion, we will overcome. In a warlike victory, we will succeed. If we hold fast to God. It means we've got to do things His way. We've got to honor Him, His word, His will, with every aspect. We have to remain humble before Him and not a part of the arrogant. For arrogance is abhorred by God. He resists the proud, but He exalts the humble. Did you ever know an arrogant person? You just love to be around them, don't you? I'll tell you, God doesn't like to be around them either. Arrogance produces a great fall. But humility, humbleness before God, produces great victory. And there'll come the time when the arrogant will be ashes under the feet of the children of God. Can I tell you something? That's not a horrible thing. It's really not. It's God's victory. It's going to come a time when you and I will help to judge this world. You realize that? We will help in the judgment of the wicked. So we'd better not be afraid of that. We'd better just be humble before the Lord. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. And who is he saying that to? You who fear my name. You who are going to be distinguished as righteous and are going to be elevated as righteous. Again, if you follow the Lord, if you follow his will, his plan, if you honor the character and the nature of God and resist anything that speaks against what God has declared, resist that. Don't be like the children of Israel. What good does it do to serve God? For it seems like everybody else prospers, and here we are, just poor, so we might just as well throw our hat in the ring of the arrogant. You throw your hat in the ring of the arrogant, and you're writing Ichabod above your heart. For God does not dwell there. Malachi had to have been shaking in his boots as the Lord gives him these prophecies. For he was a prophet who loved God's chosen people. But he loved more than the people. He loved the God who chose him. Folks, that's what we need to do. We need to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to love ourselves as much as we love God. We got to get it right. Because when we love ourselves more than we love God, or even equal to what we love God, when we love ourself and everything becomes all about us, when we do that, we have placed an idol in front of God. And that idol is us. And we have ceased from being humble before the Lord and have become arrogant. And again, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. As God resists the proud, we must too. And keep ourselves pure before Him. Would you please stand? I want to thank you again for being here tonight, and trust that you'll go out this week and have a great week. Go up to somebody and tell them Merry Christmas. All right? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, your word kind of cuts sometimes, but Lord, it's there to help to keep us on your path and in your direction. And Lord, I pray that each of us will take the time to earnestly and honestly evaluate who we are and where is our position in you. Where have we placed you in our lives? Lord, are you supreme and your plan, your principles, that which matters the most? Or, Lord, is it all about us? Father, if it's all about us, break us. Break the stubbornness and help us to be submissive to you. Now, Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We give you praise. For it's in your glorious and awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.